The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the March-April issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin today on page... Well, actually, we're going to go back to page 8 with... Who's who in sport? And we're going to look at that second line. We have Jabari Smith, Auburn Tigers forward, basketball. His height is 6'10". His weight is 220 pounds. He was born May 13, 2003, in his hometown, Fayetteville, Georgia. As a freshman, Smith averaged 15.2 points per game and 6.8 rebounds over his first 25 games for Auburn, which was ranked number one for the first time in school history. He is likely to be one of the top three picks in the 2022 NBA draft if he makes himself eligible. In high school, Smith was a McDonald's All-American. But did you know Smith's father, Jabari Sr., played in the NBA for four seasons, and he is a distant relative of Kwame Brown, who was the number one overall pick in the 2001 draft. Next, we have Jonathan Taylor, Indianapolis Colts running back for the NFL. Jonathan's height is 5'10". His weight is 226 pounds. He was born January 19, 1999, in his hometown, Salem, New Jersey. In his second season with the Colts, Taylor led the NFL in yards on the ground 1,811 and rushing TDs 18. He added 360 yards and two scores through the air. In three seasons at Wisconsin, Taylor never rushed for fewer than 1,977 yards. Indianapolis drafted him in the second round of the 2020 draft. But did you know Taylor's total of 1,977 rushing yards is an NCAA freshman record? The previous mark was held by Oklahoma's Adrian Peterson, 1,925 yards in 2004. And finally, we have Kelly O'Hara, Washington Spirit defender, soccer. Her height is 5'5". She was born August 4, 1988, in her hometown, Peachtree City, Georgia. Though she scored just one goal for the Spirit in 2021, O'Hara made it count. Her 97th-minute header in the NWSL championship game gave Washington a 2-1 win over the Chicago Red Stars. O'Hara has been a mainstay on the United States back line, scoring her first goal in a 2-0 win over Germany in the 2015 World Cup semifinals. Did you know O'Hara assisted on the first United States goal in a 13-0 victory over Thailand in 2019, which is the most lopsided win in Women's World Cup history? Now we'll go back to 2018. Excuse me, page 18. Twist of fate, best of luck, and a big horseshoe with all kinds of a little basketball, a football, a soccer ball, a tennis ball, another football, and a penny. Best of luck. From defying death to not pulling the trigger on a trade, fortune smiled on these teams and players. And it has a picture here of a, looks like maybe a general manager kissing the little Powerball, luck rating. A little draft lottery luck can change your franchise's fortunes. A lot of draft lottery luck can set it up for decades. Before the 1992 NBA draft, the Magic won the first pick after having the second worst record during the regular season. They drafted Shaquille O'Neal and improved dramatically from a 61-loss team to a 500 squad. That's what made it so surprising when they won the draft lottery again in 93, despite having the lowest odds of any qualifying team, 1.552%. They drafted Chris Webber, Glenn flipped him to the Warriors for Penny Hardaway and three future first-round picks. Despite that embarrassment of riches, the closest Orlando came to winning a title was getting swept by the Rockets in the 1995 finals. In the endgame, the excitement of Week 18 of the NFL season, formerly Week 17, is all about the playoff scenarios. Before their final regular season game of the 2006 season, the 8-7 Chiefs were a long shot to make the postseason. They had to beat the 8-7 Jaguars. They also needed the 7-8 Steelers to top the 8-7 Bengals, the Titans to lose a Patriots team that had already clinched, and unlikeliest of all, the 6-9 49ers to beat the 9-6 Broncos. The Chiefs beat the Jags by 5, then watched as the Steelers won in overtime and the Titans lost despite the Pats playing 43-year-old Vinny Testaverde in the fourth quarter. The 49ers then came back and kicked an overtime field goal to send a very fortunate Kansas City to face Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, where all the luck in the world couldn't save them. Fated for the field. Jack Lucky Loricki earned his nickname. The infielder's pro career was delayed by World War II, during which he survived a transport train crash, the Allied invasion of Normandy, and the Battle of the Bulge. He was bumped off his first flight home from the war, and the plane crashed. Then in the minors in 1946, he was called up by the Padres in the middle of the bus ride. He got off when he received the news at their next stop. The bus then fell 300 feet down a ravine and caught on fire. Finally, in 1947, the man who cheated death time and time again made his debut for the New York Giants, for whom he had a somewhat unlucky .235 batting average on balls in play. Hand of God or Eyes of Ref. Diego Maradona's handball goal that opened the scoring to Argentina's 1986 World Cup quarterfinal game against England continues to generate controversy almost 40 years later. English players and fans consider it the ultimate act of cheating, for which Maradona never sufficiently apologized. For his part, Maradona called it revenge for the 1982 Falklands War in which the United Kingdom defeated Argentina. Whatever one's view of the goal's sporting and political significance, all parties have to admit it was pretty lucky. The referee plain missed it, and Argentina went on to win its second World Cup. Best of luck. We have fans here from the hockey Boston Bruins. The Charmed Life. Put aside the Celtics' 1960s dynasty, not even your parents were around to remember that one. You Boston kids are still the luckiest youngsters reading this magazine. 6 Patriot Super Bowl wins under Tom Brady, 3 of which you might remember, 2 recent Red Sox titles, and the 2011 Stanley Cup. Even though you were an infant during the late 07-08 Celtics run, the team has still been competitive your entire life. A wild card loss from the Pats after a stellar rookie season from Mac Jones continues a hardship for you. Do you even know the Red Sox used to be considered cursed? Exit Sandman. The word luck gets thrown around too much. A team trading a star for an unheralded prospect who turns out to be even better is perhaps a little lucky, but it's also a credit to the scout who lobbied for that player. Luck is when an executive is about to be on the losing end of such a trade and something intervenes to stop him. Yankees owner George Steinbrenner didn't feel comfortable going with the rookie shortstop in 1996, so he pushed for a trade that would send a reliever to settle for Felix Firmin. The rookie shortstop, he was worried about Derek Jeter. The reliever he was ready to trade, Mariano Rivera. Fortunately, the boss, his employees, talked him out of it. Page 21 through 25. What if these NBA stars literally played every position? So we'd have characters of these stars, LeBron James, Giannis Giantacompo? Well, let's find out. This season, LeBron James started at center on December 28, 2021 against the Houston Rockets. For most forwards, that kind of an emergency assignment wouldn't be big news. But like the Soul Stone missing from Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet, the number five was the only position on the court where James had never started. A big contention for the LeBronists, Jamesians, in the never-ending GOAT debate is that Michael Jordan was merely a shooting guard in his prime. James can do it all, and now he has. In his first game at center, he logged a triple-double. His listed positions in each of his 19 seasons hint at his ever-evolving game. He started as a teenage shooting guard on the Cavaliers in 2003 and 4. Then for the next eight seasons, he was a dominant three. In 2011, James had to fill in for Chris Bosh at power forward. By the next year, Heat coach Eric Spoelstra had realized James was most dangerous as both the team's primary ball handler and a down-low threat. Shoot, if I knew LeBron was going to play the five, we probably would have done that a decade ago, Spoelstra said this season. James' transformation, however, also reflects a league-wide de-emphasis on positioning and trend towards smaller lineups. If versatility is a prerequisite for GOAT status, what about Kevin Durant, who is a better pure shooter and taller? Or reigning champion Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe the Bucks' best passer and someone who can dunk without jumping? That's only a slight exaggeration. There are many statistics that track a player's performance at different positions. But here at SI Kids, we never default to a mathematical solution when a whimsical one will do. We're not asking who can play every position the best. We're asking who could play every position the best at the same time. In a world of literal franchise players, who wins the NBA's Clone Wars? The silly answer. Unfortunately, the SI Kids cloning facilities have been temporarily decommissioned following an incident involving Buzz Beamer and a small army of Philly fanatics. Thankfully, the folks at NBA 2K have stepped into the breach. Using the player DNA option in the games, create a player feature. It's possible to make wholesale copies of existing NBA stars. You can even give your clones distinguishing accessories, like a sleeve. It helps keep track of the evil one. To test LeBron's all-around game, I have control of the LA Kings, not those ones, to the computer. My first strategy to keep up with the Jameses was an entire team made up of single versatile big men. With all due respect to Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, I had my heart set on a specific do-it-all star. If NBA teams thought one Draymond Green was annoying to play against, wait until they meet five, with an entire bench of Draymonds jawing at them from the sideline. For a while it worked. While the Jameses proved tough to defend, the Greens kept up with the scoring in the first half by jacking up threes in true Golden State fashion. But while I could control individual Draymonds, the computer had created a neural network out of basketball's highest IQ player. The LeBron hive mind started the third quarter with a much more aggressive defense and offense. You have not stared into the abyss until you've seen the hot shooter icon under two different LeBrons at the same time. Meanwhile, my hockey-shifting strategy was keeping the Draymond from getting in rhythm. By the end of the game, I had been outscored 31-3 on fast breaks and lost by a similar margin. Attempts to play the game with a bunch of Giannises didn't go much better. The real Milwaukee Bucks won a championship with two Antetokounmpos on their roster. I had 15 and couldn't beat the computer on a moderate difficulty. Maybe the problem was me. The serious answer. Accounting for a possible ability that I am really bad at video games, let's try to answer the question on the more traditional way. Through February 17, James had held opposing guard to 36.6% shooting, forwards to 40.6%, and centers to 50.8%. In that same time span, Antetokounmpo performed similarly against fives, 50.4%, and forwards, 41%, but was worse against guard, 43.1%. On the offensive side, Giannis's brother numbers are a tick higher against every position, in keeping with his better overall shooting percentage. In our scenario, however, neither player is guarding the average player at each position, but a swarm of single position superstar. According to splits from NBA.com, James has shot 24 of 50, 48% head-to-head against Antetokounmpo since the 2017-18 season. In those five seasons, Antetokounmpo shot just 11 for 29, 37.9% against James. It's a small sample size, but hardly cherry-picking in LeBron's favor. Those five seasons are Giannis's best, while his computer was 33 or older the whole time. That's a decent statistical argument for James in one-on-one game at the playground, but his teams are 5-7 against the Bucks in those years. Would the Greek Freak's better rebounding numbers create enough shots to overcome a lower percentage from the floor? Or could the Kings be too adept at finding each other in the passing game? There's no definitive answer. But in 2024, LeBron James Sr. and LeBron James Jr. may be teaming up to take on Giannis and Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Who needs the fictional Clone Wars when you have a very real family feud? Mohamed Salah, fast facts. In his fifth year with Liverpool, Salah moved into the top 10 in goals in the team's history. Through February 8, he had 148 goals in 229 appearances for the Reds, including 16 in 20 Premier League matches this season. Salah also scored 7 goals in Liverpool's 6 Champions League group stage games, all of which were victories. And next we have number 1, Mr. Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver. And some fast facts. After being selected with the 5th pick on the 2021 NFL Draft, Chase was named Offensive Rookie of the Year. He reunited with Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow, his teammate at LSU, to catch 81 passes for 1,455 yards and 13 touchdowns as the Bengals advanced to Super Bowl 56. At LSU, Chase had 84 catches for 1,780 yards as a sophomore in 2019 before sitting out the 20 season to concentrate on his pro career. How about some funnies? Calls of the Wild. SI Kids Treehouse number 13. So here at the top of page 31, there's the treehouse, and we hear someone, two people catching a baseball at the lower left, and we hear, "Liz, we're still missing this issue. What's the call?" So you have people scurrying about, tick, 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 someone typing, tick, 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 scurrying around. Next, "Sorry, boss, but I think we've covered every rule in the book, literally. Give me a break. I can think of one right now. There's a punter, and his shoe doesn't fit. Is that anything?" No need to blow a fuse, Buzz. It's okay. Lizzie Liz, we can crack it. Hey, gang, let's help brainstorm what's the call. Look, I had an idea for a play at the plate. There's a right-handed batter hitting and a runner trying to steal home. And the batter doesn't even notice his teammate. He just stands there. Textbook batter's interference. Didn't we do batter's interference last year? Next. Give me that bat. Oh, okay, so there's a righty batter at the plate. When a teammate starts to steal home, the catcher pops up and reveals that underneath his mask, he is a horrible creature of the deep. No. What if the batter steps aside and the catcher tags out the base runner at the plate? Well, then, of course, he's out. The scenario has to be confusing. Oh, yeah, right. Well, imagine this. It's a beautiful spring day. The birds are chirping. The freshly mown grass is still wet with morning's dew. The smell of popcorn is wafting through the air. Kip, that's beautiful. You have such a way with words. That's not a scenario. That's just a description. Well, what if the confusing aspect is both teams' jerseys are blue? Wouldn't it be more confusing if the catcher were holding a basketball? We had better, getting a million monkeys with typewriters to churn out Shakespeare than getting one that's what's the call out of this group. The next day. Where are you taking me? We really need to finish this issue, and I still haven't finished what's the call. Well, that's about to be no problem. I took your advice. What advice? Well, they're bound to come up with plenty of confusing rule-breaking plays. Till next time. And next we have on page 33, 35, it's a jungle out there. It ain't easy wearing the stripes. We explore the perilous profession of officiating and the unsung heroes with who keep our games fair. And here has a picture on 34 and 35 of an actual jungle with tigers, dinosaurs, zebras, monkeys, giraffes, snakes. Ooh, okay. Stars and stripes. Sometimes they put you in what I call Star Trek situations where there's not a scenario where you're going to succeed. Mike McClinsky, Major League Baseball umpire. Like many college graduates, when he finished up his degree, like Mike McClinsky, decided to continue his education. But the speech communications major at Washington wasn't going to take classes to further his goal of becoming a TV or radio broadcaster. Rather, he opted to go to somewhere that could land him on the other side of the mic, umpiring school. McClinsky had been a good high school player. To make a little extra money in the year before he went to college, the Ephrata, Washington native got a job on the county road crew. A local ump approached him with an offer to handle a few low-level summer league games in what little spare time he had. McClinsky agreed and continued working games in college. Eventually, he met some minor league umps who convinced him to give the profession a shot. That meant enrolling in school. Unlike football, where a ref can work his way up the chain from peewee to high school to college to the NFL, the road to the majors begins in the classroom. It's very intense, McClinsky says. It's 6 days a week, 10-hour days. Roughly half of that time was spent studying the rule book, and the other half on the field, where students were put into increasingly difficult scenarios, with instructors impersonating managers by screaming a lot. Sometimes they put you in what I call Star Trek situations, where there's not a scenario where you're going to succeed, he says. The idea was to teach the students how to stay calm when things began to break down. McClinsky was good enough at it that he was offered a job in rookie league in 1999. He called his first big league game in 2006 and was hired full-time in 2014. That time in the minors allowed McClinsky to gain experience and also to hone his style. More than any sport, baseball affords his officials the chance to, bring some flair to their calls. McClinsky admits he spent time early in his career in front of a mirror, perfecting his strike call. I'm more of a high-energy guy, he says. I like to be a little bit more crisp and physical because that's my personality. Last fall, he got a chance to show off on baseball's biggest stage, behind the plate for the deciding game of the World Series. McClinsky looked good, but more importantly, he was good. Of the 144 pitchers the Braves and Astros took, he got 139 of them right. Lars Graf. It figures that former athletes make good officials, but do former officials make better athletes? Lars Graf, an ATP chair umpire for 27 years, thinks so. He first sat above center court as a junior player in Sweden, back when the country had a rule that the loser of a match had to ump the next one. I think it was a very good system, Graf says. I don't want to brag, but if you look at the Swedish players, Stefan Edberg, Mats Wilander, Henrik Sundström, Bjorn Borg, I don't think you have ever read about any controversies about them on the court. He took the responsibility seriously, attending umpire school. In 1974, at age 14, he got asked to serve as a line umpire for an ATP event. And at 17, he jumped in the big chair. For a long time, Graf's umpiring was a cool hobby. A captain in the Kustjordarna, Sweden's equivalent of the Navy SEALs, Graf spent his vacation time traveling around the world to officiate Grand Slam events. Then, in 1994, he took a full-time job with the ATP. Now a tournament supervisor, he encourages kids to follow the example of his generation of Swedish players and learn the rule book and keep their cool. Don't waste your energy too long on being upset. This is the big difference between who is winning big matches and who is not. Learn the rules and try to control your emotions. Daniel Scott, NBA official. Many referees grow up dreaming of starring in a sport and then turn their attention to officiating when their playing days are over. Danielle Scott, though, has always seen herself in stripes. Both of her parents were referees, and from an early age she knew that's what she wanted to do, even if it struck some of her friends as strange. I got a lot of questions, Scott says. I used to go with my mom to her rec league game when I was young. My friends would invite me out, and I was like, nope, I'm going to go watch my mom ref. Scott called her first rec league game ball game when she was 16. Her partner that day was her mother. She was like, hey, if you guys have anything to say, come to me, says Scott. The mama bared it. Make no mistake, Scott can now handle anything players or coaches throw her way. She was identified by a referee scout, which led her to getting a spot in the NBA's training and evaluation programs. Scott spent her fourth season in the G League and also called WNBA game before becoming a full-time NBA referee at the start of this season. She's one of six female refs, the most of the league has ever had at one time. It was always a dream of mine, so I love every second of it, she says. I just feel like I belong here. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.